This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Right now, we're going to have the story behind the book. I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Robert Dagoni, and the name of his new book is Her Deadly Game. Are you there, Robert?
I am indeed. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, I have to play something for you, okay? I have a little something I'm playing for you. A drum roll, because you deserve it.
Well, thank you very much.
This is the birth of a new series, I'm sure. I tell you, I don't know what I could do with you today, because I could spend the whole time just saying, you're brilliant, you're brilliant, you're brilliant. I knew you were brilliant before, but now you're more brilliant.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you.
This book is so good. It is brilliant. What am I going to do with you? Her Deadly Game. Oh, this is a deadly game. This was, I tell you, there's so many things about this book that's, it's perfect. I love legal thrillers generally, but, you know, there's legal thrillers and then there's this. You write in what I call a rat-a-tat-tat form. Now, that's also for me, it's very funny that when I started reading the book, I said, oh, this is rat-a-tat-tat, which is also a term I use in chess, because it is when things are just coming so fast, boom, 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 one thing after another, and, you know, it's not a real chess term, but that's, when you play with somebody who's doing that, it's really exciting, and you're writing that way. You just write one thing after another. It just pulls us in and pulls us in and pulls us in, and it's so clean and it's so beautifully done, just took my breath away.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the goal with a thriller, right? Whatever you're writing, a legal thriller, a police procedural thriller, whatever it is, you want it to thrill people. You want to have them, you know, keep turning the page and turning the page and not give them an opportunity to have a breather and put the book down.
Well, exactly. I started this on a Sunday afternoon, and I didn't have a breather. I mean, I was like, I had to get up a few times, but nature called. Other than that, I didn't want to stop. It is just so good, and I want to really, I need to thank somebody really special in your life, and she deserves this recognition. I play a drum roll for her. Gracie Doyle is brilliant.
She really is. I really have found a home at Amazon Publishing. And, you know, Gracie is a great, not only a great editor, but she's just a great sounding board for me. I will call her up and I'll say, I have an idea for a book. Here's kind of what I want to do. And in this particular instance, she said to me, I'd really love to see you do another legal thriller. She said, you're very good in the courtroom. Your scenes in the courtroom are, you know, really, really kind of your best writing. Can you do a legal thriller but incorporate all the other things that you love to do, which is police procedurals and family dynamics? And so I came up with Kira Dugan and the Dugan family, and I came up with a case for her to defend for her law firm, which is her father's law firm, which is failing. And I gave her, her own personal skeletons in her closet. You know, she comes from an alcoholic household.
Well, okay, we're not gonna go through. I'll tell you one thing. This is so good. You created from just everything that you've done, but now you've wrapped it all into this wonderful, wonderful family dynamics, which you're so good at anyway. I mean, ever since
Ordinary Life of Sam.
Yeah, you're so good at particularly doing families at dinner, that kind of thing. You're great at that. So here you have this opportunity to create this family, and they are so fascinating, and you've left so many, there's so many things you're going to be doing with this family. It is the start of a series. I'm not wrong, right?
No, you're not. It is the start of a series, yes.
I mean, I would, if, you know, I'd have to come over there and hit you on the head with a book if you weren't going to continue, because, I mean, this is just too good. I mean, sometimes everything just falls in place, and things just fell in place for you with this one. This is just so good. First of all, of course, the name, Her Deadly Game. I'm not going to tell everybody what is in this book, but, you know, as I said, for me, just, and I had no idea there was going to be anything to do with anything about chess in it or any, when I had this feeling, this rat-a-tat-tat, I love that kind of writing. This takes my breath away, and I said, wow, and she's right, Gracie's right about you are great at courtroom, because what happens in so many legal thrillers, where it falls down, is that evidence has to be repeated over and over in many different iterations. And right. So often it becomes so boring, it becomes so repetitive, so redundant, but you make everything fresh.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, right? I mean, anybody who's tried cases will tell you that it's 95% drudgery and 5% interesting, and I try to write the 5%.
Well, you certainly have. And as you said, Kira Duggan and the entire family, her father, Patsy, which is Patsy with a S-Y, as opposed to my name, which is with a Z-I. A lot of times people will think that I must be Irish.
You're right.
So funny. I love the Irish accent, and so I don't mind. And as a matter of fact, I just celebrated the 8th anniversary. I started the program on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, wow.
So it all sort of blends in.
Yeah, it's symbiotic, right?
Exactly. And that wonderful thing, of course, now, as I said, with this family, I love that you gave them enough kids there. So we're going to have stories. It's just, I got such a kick out of it as I'm reading that. I'm thinking, I know he's writing this, you know, when he starts, he's writing it as one book, but he's got to keep with this story. But it's all sort of building up and building up this family dynamics, which you are so good at.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I mean, I remember back when my sister's grave, which was, of course, your big sort of breakthrough. Oh, everything about your writing is great. But this one, this book, I just felt, woo! I'm flying with this book.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the goal. I wanted to make it fun. I wanted readers to have an enjoyable experience. I wanted it to be a puzzle book. I wanted it to be a game. And I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
It is. Everything is. Everything about it, it's just perfect. And, you know, I'm the kind of person who, when I get a book, I read from the beginning. I never read the back cover. I never read blurbs. I never want to know what it's about before I start. I don't want to know anything about the family. I don't want to know anything about the characters until I discover it as I turn the pages. So, but I do always read the beginning. I always read the dedications. I know the dedications because I think that's important. And I always read, if I love when writers put a little something, a little quote at the beginning. Now, most people will sort of just slide over the quote, to won't even think about it. But you can't catch me. Oh, boy, oh, boy. you know, I've been in the theater and I lived in England, so I knew, I'm not going to tell why that's important, but it just, everything, I just felt as I was reading, I thought, oh, he's having so much fun writing this book.
I did. I had a ball, and you know, you hit the nail on the head. Reading should be a process of discovery. That's what makes it fun for readers. They try to predict what's going to happen, and then you hopefully can surprise them with a new discovery. So it was a ball writing the book, and I'm looking forward to writing the next one in the series.
Well, exactly that. And that's why I get so annoyed with all those blurbs that they have. People judge a book nowadays by the blurb online. If it doesn't sound interesting, then they're not going to read it, you know. The joy of it is to know when you have a really great writer. They know you're a great writer. All they have to do is pick up the book and start turning the pages. And then after, when they get to about page 30 and they say, well, I'm getting thirsty and I can't get up. you know you got a great book.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's very kind. That's the goal.
So, you know, it's so funny. I have to keep, what can I say? that people have to get this book. I don't know. I'm sure you have blurby kind of things that you're giving to people, but I don't like to give it away. I really don't. People read the book. I mean, one page after another, as I said, as you're getting, we'll just tell you that Kira is fascinating, and the entire family is fascinating. I love Patsy. And when you start really caring about people, when you start caring about the characters from you know, just within a few chapters, you really care. You're worried. You built up this tension of what's going to happen to various members of the family, too, as we're going along. And it's so exciting.
Well, yeah, thank you. I mean, that's the goal, is to make your characters empathetic. You know, if you can make them sympathetic, that's one thing. But if you can make them empathetic and you can get the reader to stand in your character's shoes, whether that's the protagonist or whether that's, you know, one of the family members, they'll relate to the book, they'll relate to the characters, and they'll relate to the story. I think the biggest compliment anyone can pay me is when they close a book and they say to me, is this a true story? Is this based on true story? Did something happen like this? Because that means that you really did capture them. They really did feel like they were part of the book.
Well, it's funny, you know, as I'm reading the story too, it brought back to mind, now, I have a love-hate relationship with lawyers. I was involved in a terrible lawsuit back in the day in Hollywood where I sued a major film company.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a big mistake. When you're young and you believe you're right, you know, you are right. And you, I'm not believe, you know you're right. You know that is your work. You wrote it and somebody stole it. But then when you hire the nephew of a friend who just got out of law school, and you walk into the boardroom of a major law firm, you know, you've lost. So over the years, I've sort of been working on a side story about a story where every lawyer in the boardroom is murdered in some wonderful way. And maybe someday I will publish it. But I'm always afraid if I do publish it, they'll sue me. I'll be back. So
nobody wins in a lawsuit. Nobody wins. I tried enough civil cases to know that, you know, when the case is done, you know, the client's not fully happy, the opposite side is not fully happy, and unfortunately that's where how our justice system works and operates, but it's still the best justice system in the world. So.
Oh, it is. And I love the courtroom scenes. I love when lawyers are questioning and, you know, it's so good. And when you write this, it just boom, 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 rat-a-tat-tat. Beautiful. Just one after another. You just take us away with this examination, the cross-examination. It's perfect.
Well, thank you. It's not an easy skill, and I've had the fortune of trying some cases with some really good lawyers. And, you know, when you watch a really good lawyer do his job well, it's really fascinating, and it's really entertaining. And that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to put a lawyer in the courtroom who's very, very good at what she does and allow the reader to see the intuitiveness that she displays and her ability to adapt. You know, all those things. But that came, again, from spending time in the courtroom with some really, really talented people and trying to emulate them.
Well, you captured it because, as you said, it's not easy. And, again, this is one of the, you know, you have legal thrillers. They have a premise. They have your premise is the easiest of all. It's such a simple case, and yet you have done so much with it. And when the courtroom scenes came up, I said to myself, oh, my goodness, this is so great. And it reminded me, now, of course, you've been to London. Have you ever gone to Old Bailey? The court in London, all cases are in Old Bailey. Oh, next time you go, you have to go. You have to go and watch. You have to watch them. As a matter of fact, one of the cases I watched, you can get in Old Bailey, can sit in the gallery, and you can watch them working. And I mean, they are good. They are very, and they're literate too. So they're very fast. But there was a lawyer in there, an Irish lawyer, a solicitor, and he was so good, so fast, and witty. it was absolute joy to watch. Which, because I have a real passion for Irish accents. I can listen to Irish people talk all day. So, but that, you know, for you, because you're so famous, when you get to London next time, go to Old Bailey. Not only will you, you'll sit in the gallery and watch some cases, they'll give you the grand tour. Every famous case in the past 150 years has been in the Old Bailey. It's a lovely place to visit. I got that same feeling. You have this Irish lawyer. It's everything about this book is fantastic.
Thank you. I'll have to do that. It sounds fascinating.
I'm sure they all read your books.
I hope. Yeah, there's a big push going on, and I am well read in England. They do love legal thrillers.
Well, as a matter of fact, you need a book signing. Your publishers will be happy to send you to London. stay at the Savoy, please. And
yeah, they have some wonderful conferences over there. I'd love to go over. I've done Paris, and I've done Barcelona, and I've been over in Frankfurt. But England, that would be a kick. That would be a lot of fun.
Thomas and Mercer have an office there, by the way. I'm sure I remember that. And you have to stay at the Savoy and go to the Old Bailey and meet all the solicitors there. They will just love you. And because they're reading your books, and maybe they're looking to, trying to get ideas from you now.
Fabulous. I will have to do that.
I'm already working on more promotion ideas for this wonderful book.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, what can I say about you? Every once in a while I get one of these interviews. Well, all I can keep saying is compliment, compliment, compliment. What am I going to do? And I don't really care if you write with pencil or, you know, or you use a computer. That's not what my listeners are interested in. My listeners want to care about the author. And so tell us something about yourself that you want people to know about you. I think one of the things I do want people to know is that you're well known in the industry as a very giving person, a very warm person. Everybody I talk to always says that you're very special.
Well, thank you. That's extremely kind. That's the nicest compliment I think anyone could ever pay me. And I think it really speaks volumes to my parents. I'm one of 10 kids. I was raised in a middle-class home, which, you know, we didn't have a lot because we had so much family, but we had a lot of love in that house. And my mom and dad made it special. Our holidays were special. I still remember as a little kid when The Wizard of Oz was on, we would wait until that first commercial, and then my mother would usher us out the door, and we'd run across the street to Mrs. Pilgrim's house so that we could see Dorothy open the door in the Land of Oz in color. We didn't have a color television when I was growing up. So my parents worked very hard, and I'm just very proud of them because all of my brothers and sisters are really quality people, good people. I have a younger brother who's handicapped. He has Down syndrome, so I'm in tune to people that are different, people that have disabilities, and the need for those people to be loved and taken care of. So it's a wonderful compliment, but I'll pass that compliment on to my mom and my dad because I really do believe that it's a learned trait, and they're just two. My father has passed away, but my mother, God love her, she's 90, and she's still around and still doing great, and she's really the motivating force behind everything.
Well, see, that's the kind of thing my listeners want. My listeners connect more with the author. They get really engaged. They also want to care about the author. For example, I have a whole group of women who are fans of Tasha Alexander. They, you know, will have a tea party and they will wear hats for Lady Emily, for her, you know, character. And that's what's important. I love when I get listeners and readers to care about an author, because then they're going to pick up that book. They don't need a blurb and they don't need reviews. People have to just trust when they find a great author, know that that author is going to put everything they have into creating a book that is fun for the reader.
I always tell readers that I'm only as good as my last book. You know, the book that a reader picks up might be the first book of mine that they've ever read, and it might be part of the series, it might not be, but it's that first book that they pick up. And so I have to be good every book. There's no there's no taking taking time out to write something that isn't as good as I can make it. And so I really try to pride myself on creating every book, making it an enjoyable experience for the reader.
You certainly have with Her Deadly Game. Oh, boy. It is so good. I had to pull out my chessboard. Everything about the book, it is perfection.
Thank you. Thank you. Very kind.
So, and again, you are very lucky and very, you know, blessed, as you said, in many ways. But you are very blessed that you have somebody like your editor, Gracie Doyle. I'm sure every writer envies you to have somebody who cares so much about you and knows you so well that she suggested you get back into writing legal thrillers. Boy, you hit it out the ballpark. It is baseball season, and I'm thinking about ballparks.
I have a great team behind me. Gracie is terrific, and the whole Amazon team has really, really gotten behind my work. And you're right. I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed to have a publisher that believes in me. And they told me once that my job is to write the next great book, and I've taken that to heart.
Well, you certainly did, and you did it with Her Deadly Game, Robert Dagoni, and you were supposed to be here for my birthday. You were going to be wrapped up in a ribbon. March 28th was my birthday, and you were supposed to be on the program. And then it got canceled, and I was like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh.
I apologize. I was traveling. I was on an airplane, and I told my publicist, I said, if I'm going to make the sign-in in Phoenix, I'll never be able to do it. So I'm glad we got a chance to talk.
And you got to Phoenix, and that is a great bookstore, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Poison Pen with Barbara Peters.
Oh, it's the best. And she's lovely, and the bookstore is lovely. So I'm glad you were there. But I was thinking about you on my birthday.
Thank you.
Okay. And I will always now think of you as the rat-a-tat-tat author, the one who really just keeps hitting it right and keeps us so thrilled.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for joining me today. You are a joy.
Thank you. I enjoyed it very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We have to say bye right now, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye now.